Finance Committee meeting to order. It is at 7:15, and we have the following commission, the Finance Committee members here. We have Rhea is here, Ashley, Ross, myself is the chair. We have Amanda, and we also have Bob and Monroe. And so those are the members present. We also do not have a clerk tonight, so when you speak, please identify yourself, because the clerk will be working from the recording, both audio and video. So if you do speak, please identify yourselves. And we do have one member of the public here, and we also have Rodney Fournier, First Selectman, is present. And that is it. We do not have the town administrator here. The chief financial officer is not present, and we also do not have representation, as I said, from the schools. But we did get notified that superintendent of schools cannot make it. So we can get started. So I will begin with our public participation. And if our member of the public would like to come up, identify yourself by name and street, and if you want to talk.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, so.
Come on up so the microphone will pick you up, or you can.
Have a seat.
Have a seat. You can come up here and stay there. Stay there and look at our material. This is all stuff for the public, so you're welcome to just stay there.
Very honored to be at the high table, thank you. Bryce Aronson, 149 Brandy Street. So my primary leading comment is on the way things are communicated with the public on, like, the town meetings, the, you know, the budget documentations, how they are shared. I mean, less so, I think, for the updated budget documentation. I feel like that was reasonably well circulated. But the annual meeting that was held before this, that, you know, knowing when that is, what the agenda is, or what's going to be discussed, you know, I would just like to note that, you know, an attempt at improving, I don't have the answers for it right now.
No, but what you had noted before and what we had spoken to when you asked about how do you place notifications, and the answer from the town officials here was that we do basically the legally mandated minimum, you know, when you ask. And so you were saying is, you know, what can we do beyond that?
Yes.
So I just wanted to clarify, because that was really your concern. And that's also one of my concerns as well, too, is sometimes we just do the minimum legally required, and how many people look at those sources. So anyway, continue.
I don't have much more to say, but yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. And that, at least from what I understand from the Finance Committee, to give you some kudos, is that it at least seems to be acknowledged. And I don't know if that seems to be better than what the entire select people have acknowledged. So, you know, an acknowledgement and an intention on how to do a better job is appreciated.
Yep. And we appreciate you being here and participating as a member of the public, because sometimes it's a joke, you know, when we have the public participation, you know, that, who's the public? They're not here. And I've had that happen on the other committees, you know, commissions like inland wetlands. Nobody usually shows except the applicant. So again, thank you very much for being here.
That's a, I feel like you have to stay the whole time.
Yeah, if you want to stay, you're welcome to.
Thank you. I'll go sit over there.
Safer.
You're not on the big screen.
So that was the end of public participation. So we will go on to approval of minutes. And we have three sets of minutes, excuse me, to approve. And I will go ask that we approve each set of minutes separately, just to keep it cleaner and easier, especially since we do not have our clerk tonight. And she will be working from the recordings, which is more difficult. So first thing is the minutes of April 22nd, 2024, special meeting.
The 22nd?
Yeah.
I'll move that we approve the minutes from April 22nd.
So I have a motion by, you made the motion, Amanda?
Mm-hmm.
By Amanda Gordon, seconded by Bob Monroe. Is there any discussion? And I'm looking around, yes, Amanda?
So I'm not sure that Bob Monroe was at that meeting, because that was the meeting where it was just the four of us. And it says that he came at 7:37, but I don't think that's accurate. Yeah, because it was Passover.
He wasn't here.
Yeah, he was not here because he was at a Passover Seder with friends.
Right, so I think he just needs to be removed from the members present.
You have a great memory, yes.
Yeah.
Good point, good catch. So then I would ask that we amend the motion to include that correction to eliminate Bob Moore as attending.
Motion to approve the modification.
And that motion was made by Bob Monroe. Do I have a second?
A second.
Second is made by Ashley Phelan. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye, opposed, abstentions. So the motion carries unanimously by the members of the Finance Committee present. What?
Well, so.
You just found something in the things we just approved?
Yeah, well, I'm picky in how this stuff is worded only because, so.
No, that's fine, I'm just saying.
Which one are you on?
3A. Where it says, A. Gordon reported the mill rate currently is 32.63. I mean, I would like that to say that she calculated that the mill rate, like, because I stated in that meeting that I wasn't sure if it was correct. I just don't want that to be taken as like.
So where is this?
Fact, page one.
Are you more like estimated?
Yeah.
April 22nd.
So then let's go and have a motion to go back and revisit 3A.
I'll make a motion that we go back and revisit 3A of the April 22nd minutes.
I'll second that.
And so motion was made by Amanda, seconded by Rhea. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Well, just that I would like, under 3A, if we can say, yeah, if it can say, A. Gordon reported that her estimated mill rate currently is 32.63.
And that's in the middle of the paragraph.
The second one down is also worded.
Where?
A. Gordon reported the motion change to the mill rate closer to last year's. The mill rate from 32.63 to 33.41, which is a decrease of 23.76. And that's not how math works.
Where's that?
Sorry.
For the second page is 3C.
Okay, yep, okay, yep, the second one.
Second one, yes.
Okay, so, and also to make a change to 3C, the second bullet point, that the estimated mill rate changed, the estimated mill rate closer to last year's to 33.41.
In direction, yeah.
So what should it say?
Well, it is, it's directionally correct because it's a decrease from last year's mill rate. And then maybe we can add last, mill rate last year of 43.82. Or 10.41 mils, because that's what we were, it was a decrease from last year's mill rate. Not that we were decreasing it.
So then we should repeat.
And the percentage, the way the percentage change is, was really what I was calling it on that too.
So.
That's.
It sounds like that whole sentence needs to be corrected in order to make, you know, make it reflect accurate math.
Oh, change to the mill rate.
Yeah, so the 32.63 and the 33.41, neither of those are prior year.
No.
Mill rate.
32 was the original estimate, right.
The estimate changed.
Yeah, so A. Gordon reported that the motion changed the estimated mill rate from 32.63 to 33.41, which is a decrease of 23.76% from the prior year's mill rate of 43.82, or a 10.41 decrease in mills.
That's fine.
Yes.
good hit.
You can be on the committee.
Thank you, yes.
That's right, there's lots of details.
Should that be typed out or something so that whoever's taking it?
It's recorded, though.
It's being recorded.
Okay. I'm just say it one more time so that the person.
I don't know that.
They can replay it.
Yeah, they can replay it over and over again if they need to. It should be all right, if they need to, they can ask next meeting. That's why I said it kind of slowly.
So any further discussion?
So we start again, motion to approve with modification.
Yes. Do I have a second? Well, we made a motion and then we're in.
That was part of the discussion, yep. So now we just have to approve it.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second.
No, never mind, we just need to approve. Because the motion was to go back and revisit this, which we just did, and that's the changes that we want. And there's no further discussion on the changes that we decided to make. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, abstention, the motion passes unanimously by all those present. So we go on to the minutes for April 30th, our public hearing.
Do you like, in the first paragraph where we're referring to Jim, when we talk about the carryover from the prior, it, you know, Ross replied, it was a one-time occasion? I don't know if it's really one time.
Well, that specific, well, depending on how you look at this, components that were that one time, it, that one time adjust, that was caused by the one time, you know,
Interest?
Well, not the, well, there's some that was one time from the interest. And then there was also that we had that money after they audited the, you know, the budget for the previous year, there was that surplus of what, 1.2 million. And I think that's what I was calling out as kind of, as being the windfall.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is just business as usual, except for the fact that the interest rates did go up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that may not happen again next year.
Because then I like where it starts with Amanda just explaining the sources.
He did, I mean, the minutes are accurate in the sense that he did say that.
Did say that, yeah.
So I do have some changes I want to make. Fine, picky. But should we make a motion to approve first? I make a motion that we approve the minutes from April 30th. With the changes that I would like to make, which will be discussed.
I'll second that.
Okay, so.
So motion is made by Amanda and seconded by Rhea. Discussion.
So the last paragraph on page one where it says Scott Michaud asked about the increase in the mill rate and the subsequent increase in taxes. And it says, A. Gordon replied that there was a 9.5% increase last year. I would like to specify that I said there was a 9.5 increase in the mill rate. In the mill rate last year, so that it's not confused that it was a 9.5 necessarily increase in taxes.
Or the budget.
Right, or the budget, correct. So just adding the words mill rate there. And then, wow.
Well, just basically drop it off after the comma and then add, you know, there's a 9.5% increase in mill rate last year, period, and then drop the rest, correct?
Or no, it was a 9.5% increase in mill rate.
Yes.
And a 3.8 mills
increase.
So mill rate increase. So it's the difference between number of mills versus percentage.
Okay.
Increase. And then on page two, I believe that I, so first paragraph, Third sentence, third from the last sentence, A. Gordon explained that the town has locked contracts with vendors and therefore cannot predict costs. I'm pretty sure I said that we can predict costs because of those locked-in vendors. We know the max increase, so just changing cannot to can predict costs.
Or better predict, or?
I don't exactly remember what I said. Should be able to predict costs. Any other changes?
I'm looking at the very last paragraph again by Shira Uden, or Udin.
Oh, that's, her name's spelled wrong, it should be U-D-I-N, Cheryl Udin.
So, last paragraph, Cheryl Udin, 31 Keeney Drive. And where we get into the discussion about the schools. Added the, you know, Ashley pointed out that the increase is due to contractual salaries and benefits. Kay Hecht added the school's trying to hire for unfilled positions. And then, as I stated, that this will need to be discussed soon. The this that I wanted to have discussed is really what's the, you know, the future school situation.
Bigger picture, yeah.
In, you know, the big picture of the future school system in Bolton is what, you know, I refer to. Because otherwise the this isn't really clear.
I agree. So you want to change this to what?
So just R. Lally stated that the future of the school system in Bolton will need to be discussed soon. And then Bob Monroe explained the reason for students are enrolling in vocational and other schools. So this is all, the last part is all the explanation of the decline of enrollment.
The last sentence when Bob also added that students are allowed to attend other facilities,
yeah,
was he referring,
that, so.
Was he
yeah.
referring to vocational and that type of stuff, charter schools, or was it getting at his comment where he thinks that kids should be able to.
I think that's the context of his comment. Was that there should be more choice.
Whether it's a voucher system or whatever, he wanted more choice where money could follow the student to the appropriate school, I think is probably the best way to say it.
Do we need that though?
Yeah, I would strike that from that
follows,
whole sentence from
it's off topic.
Yeah.
Anything?
Because it was related to state policy.
Yeah.
I would strike the whole sentence starting with R. Mora,
so
the last sentence.
So let's delete the last sentence. R. Mora also added.
It's not possible in this time, yeah.
And I think it also clarifies the discussion that was before that.
Yeah.
I mean, he did say it, but like you said, it's not pertinent to the particular discussion.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt anything to remove it.
Yeah.
Any other further discussion?
Am I allowed to ask a question on that right now?
Well, technically, no.
Oh, then I'm happy to be quiet.
But
we go ahead. Yeah.
But go ahead anyway, since you already did. This is
public participation.
Just don't get out of line, so I have to call the state police and throw you out.
I'd be gone before they got me. So I had never heard the number for, I guess, the students participating in our school system, and if the budget is 16. Whatever million, it's like almost $24,000 a student.
Yeah, I think Kristen Heck said like 20,000 or so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And some of them are fixed costs, right, that like are gonna remain regardless of how many students we have. Like we could take on more at the same rate before requiring extra teachers.
And that's
and
what
stuff,
I was trying to get at with my comment is, you know, the cost to heat the school, the cost, all those fixed things are going to say that the administration, all those costs are going to be.
Yeah.
Right, the general overhead.
But, you know, if you have additional classes, you know, by exponential.
It's in the budget document.
Increased number of kids, then sure, you would need more teachers and then it would increase. But a lot of that is fixed.
And so what I just will just make clear to our clerk who is not here is that we're having a discussion that's unrelated to changes to the minutes. And so the last change that we asked for was dropping that last sentence, "Armora." So why don't we finish up this motion, and then if there's any questions you want, I'm just trying to keep it clear for.
No, I apologize.
No, 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 it's fine. I'm just trying to keep it clear for the clerk who is not here and going to be working from recordings. So any further discussion about the minutes? So then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? So the minutes of the April 30 public hearing were approved with the noted modifications. They were approved unanimously by all those present. So we can, do you wanna have your question answered out before we move on to the next step?
No, because I mean, it was answered.
It's an observation.
It was an observation. Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're getting at with your broader comment about needing to have a bigger discussion at some point about the schools is because.
Because it's nothing we can solve as a finance committee. It's really a townwide decision. You know, that you have to have a number of public gatherings to have people sit down and talk about what do you, how do you envision the future of the schools? What are you willing to pay for? How do you pay for it if you want to keep it the way it is, like getting more businesses in and so forth? So it's a much broader discussion than that we what we can do here. This is pretty much said and done by the time things get here. Yeah.
Bob Monroe.
So I just make again clear to the clerk that we haven't moved on to the April 30th special meeting minutes yet. So ignore this conversation as far as recording it. Yes, Bob, are you on to some specific minutes comment?
I was gonna say that it doesn't matter whether it's, what matters is the spread of the students by grade. Across the school system.
Yep.
And what you're seeing right now is a continued decline in the number of high school students, as reflected by the population. The key, and I don't really have an answer for this yet because I haven't really done that much analysis of it, but is how many kids in kindergarten and first grade compared to previous years. You know, there's been, you know, this is, for the most part, has been a town made up of older adults, many of whom whose children are long since gone from Bolton. And, you know, houses were being sold, as evidenced by the grandless change. What we're seeing, I believe, is, and then, you know, those homes are being bought by younger families and new families and people who want to come to Bolton for the school system and raise their kids, have their kids raised and educated here.
Yeah, so what I would suggest is that we just move on to the next one because I think it's a good discussion, and then maybe we can just have a private, you know, private answer, Q&A for you, because I just want to move this along.
One other class is 33.
Yeah.
Yeah, one other thing to add, just as a.
33. Kindergarten, just next year.
Yeah, compared to.
The per grade enrollment is part of the budget document that is available on the town's website for anyone who would like to see that.
Okay, let's move on. So I'm going to move on. So now I can tell our clerk when she's listening to. Now you can pay attention again because we are now doing official agenda business. So this is the approval of the minutes of April 30th, 2024 special meeting. So do I have a motion to approve, and then we can discuss?
Motion to approve.
Seconded by Amanda.
And motion made by Bob Monroe. Okay, discussion. This was really crunch time.
Yes.
To try to get this thing done. So hopefully these are understandable. Because there was a lot of conversation. And I just would note on the first paragraph, since we had already had the public, oh, wait a minute, I'm looking at the wrong one.
I was gonna say, what's in your hand doesn't look like one.
No, it's not. Let me go to no wonder. Anyway, let's go on to the next, the correct one. So, anyway. So I think I would just amend on the second page, 4B, we're talking about the budget calendar. As this is R, against Ross Lally speaking, R. Lally announced that the FY 2024 and 25 budget, it should be budget numbers must be filed with, you know, with the town clerk by May 20. So it basically, we don't, with the intent that we do not have much time left to work on, you know, the budget for presentation to the public.
It says May 10.
Because by itself, it's, the observation is like, why did I make that observation? It's really because we need to get it done tonight, was basically the intent of that paragraph.
Are you saying that 4B?
Yes, 4B.
Did you say May 20th?
No, I said May 10th, I believe. They must, you know, instead of shall be filed with the town clerk, it must be filed with the town clerk by May 10. And there is, you know, meaning that we have, we must, you know, basically we have a little time left to act on, you know, the budget for the next fiscal year. So that's what I would add at the end.
I would further amend 4B to read, announce that the FY24-FY25 budget, it's not both your budgets, like, FY24 is already done, so it should be FY24-25 budget.
Shall be filed, must be filed with the town clerk by May 10, 2024. Meaning we do not have much time left to make a decision on the budget. And then that should take care of that. And then on 4C, consider and possibly act on assignment of a capital reserve project. It should read that the R. Lally stated the reason for this action is that we must put the $400,000 into a specific line item in the capital plan. We had not done this at the last meeting.
So can we just eliminate the words without placing it, and then it becomes accurate, is to place $400,000 in capital in a line item?
Yes, that would do it.
So strike without placing it.
And so for a poor clerk who's trying to figure this out, it will now read, our Lally stated the reason for this action is to place $400,000 in capital in a line item. And so I'm just also going to note, under 5A, we also had some discussion about the fact that the SOAR Commission was not officially covered by the RFQ, and yet we received a submission for it, and I questioned whether, you know, did we need to set that aside until we issued an RFQ and received this formally? And then Jim Rupert had replied that it was under a certain amount threshold, dollar threshold, so we didn't have to do that. So I don't know if we feel that's important to cover, because it's not, I don't see it in here, but it was part of the discussion. So what do you folks think?
It might be a good technical item to have in there.
Yeah.
So then it's basically note that, mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of the most efficient way to say this, was that although the SOAR Commission.
What do you mean by the SOAR Commission? The Bolton Lakes?
The Bolton Lakes and sewers, whatever. Because
oh.
That's what it really
sewers
called, sewer district,
yeah.
Whatever. Because they have a, you know, separate financial structure that gets audited.
Committee discussed that Bolton Lakes sewer was not included in RFQ. Jim confirmed it was not necessary according to our bid ordinances.
Because it was under threshold.
Because, yeah, mm-hmm. This is under the
threshold for bid ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sounds good. We will go with Amanda's suggestion. And then I think the rest of it covers the ask that we had for the auditor making themselves available to us more and sooner. And then we have the motion, and that's for the ballot question. And that was carried unanimously by those present, no abstentions and so forth. So it looks like the rest of it's okay, unless anybody has noted anything. So any further discussion? Then we will have a vote to incorporate those comments. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries unanimously by those present. So we can move on to the elected official and town staff reports. And since we do not have anybody who typically presents, Jim Rupert is not present.
We can probably give a couple highlights for Board of Ed.
So if you would like, so let's just look at this. So, yeah, so we do start with Board of Ed. Ashley and Rhea, if you would like to give some updates for Board of Ed then?
Yeah, very high level. So 71% expended as of April 30th versus 73% in the prior year. As you'd expect, continue to experience savings in salaries and benefits due to those unfilled positions. I think there has been some success with filling ADA one to two positions, which is great. But still projecting some savings in that area by the end of the year. The commitment, and I forget where we were last meeting, but the commitment to FY25's budget is $350,000, which I think is what we have in the placeholder.
Correct.
And then there were a few bid waivers that we, you know, talked about at the meeting and had to address, but I don't think we have to approve those as part of the Board of Finance.
So did the this is Bob Monroe, did the Board of Education approve the statement for April?
Yes.
But it's not in our packet.
We got it online.
Oh, yeah.
She just sent it before the meeting.
Oh, I looked at it earlier and I didn't see it.
I didn't see it online. You sure?
We got an email at 3:22 PM today.
Okay.
From Casal.
Oh, I thought, okay. I thought it was just to me. I didn't know it was to them.
I know this one is mine because I got that from a vendor at the.
Was there any change in the projected surplus?
So still holding at?
I think they're at 60. Six or so.
Projected budget balance, $526,292, increase from prior month projection of a decrease in $92,667.
So that was as of the prior meeting, then?
April. This is the April.
So it.
I'm looking at the bottom line.
Yeah, so you just said a decrease?
Well, it's in red in parentheses, so normally that means a decrease.
Yep.
I'd have to, I don't have last month's.
Oh, was that what Casal said?
What do you, you have last month's or? I don't know, this one just says April on the top.
Okay.
This was, yeah, today.
And then I'm looking at the very, the total education budget line item on the last page.
But I can't download it.
Let me see if I can open it.
I'll have to look at it when I get home.
Yeah, I can try.
So after the 350,000 commitment, there could be additional savings. We have not yet approved that to be committed to next year.
Correct.
Because that's where Chris.
I was suggesting last meeting that it was, that'd be at least $100,000.
Okay.
Right, so they are saying the surplus above and beyond that which has already been committed to next year's budget is $176,292.
Yeah, so higher than you're anticipating.
It's a good estimate, Bob. Not bad for government work.
I venture into things that people just don't want to venture into.
But obviously, every month that goes by without filling those positions is quite exponential because we continue to carry that forward.
Yeah.
There's more to it than that.
Absolutely.
Any more discussion on Board of Education update? Anything we'd like Ashley to take back to the Board of Ed? What? I'm not seeing any. So we can go on to the Board of Selectmen part of the budget.
I don't have anything.
Yeah.
From the Board of Selectmen, just the same old concerns about our refuse budget line item, which is highlighted in blue on your chart. Revenues, there were no concerns on revenue.
Yeah, I mean, the only other one was, the other one we had talked about was also for elections. And again, that's because of early voting, which wasn't covered in the, you know, the current budget. So I think those were the two watch items that we have. I don't see that the elections is list, you know, highlighted, but that's another place to keep an eye on. And the transfers, any questions? There were two large transfers. There's one for up front for $13,000 where we say, it looks like we had some savings on sand and salt. There's removed over to equipment highway to replace a plow. And then the last, you know, that one seems to be fairly obvious and a prudent thing to do. And the last one was 14,000 moved to professional and technical services from legal and administrative. And I can't figure that one out without insight. I don't know if Rodney or Amanda would have any insight into that last one.
Not without looking at my notes from the last.
Professional technical?
Yeah. It was like $14,000 transfer.
I think that was to cover more the cost of our
Cyber stuff.
And cybersecurity?
Yes.
It was to our vendor for Novus, I think.
Novus?
Contracts for such, yeah.
Yeah.
And then under town update, again, I would ask Amanda or Rodney to speak up as we go through this, but I think the things of interest that I saw was our interest, things of interest was our interest report.
That's good.
Yeah.
Where we're, looks like we will get to that $500,000 by the end of the fiscal year.
Barely, but we should get there.
Yeah.
Nice.
If it keeps, you know, the amount of interest keeps declining because of our declining balance, it looks like that we'll get there to the $500,000.
And so for the public, again, $15,000 was budgeted for total interest because the, we switched plans with the bank. We had no idea what was gonna happen as a result of that switch, and so we left the interest at $15,000, which was the same as the prior year. So we are seeing an increase in revenue on interest of an estimation of $485,000 over what was in the budget. Which is part of that surplus that we then are carrying over into next year's budget, giving us some revenue.
Part of the story, for sure.
Yeah.
And it also served to decrease, yeah, the amount of money necessary to support the next budget going forward, because we're still anticipating, I believe, $460,000.
Yep.
Yeah.
In this coming year, interest. So far, that looks like a pretty good number, you know, it's hard, you know, it's all a guess.
And I think the rates will probably carry into a good part of next fiscal year.
It's certainly looking that way.
Depending on what the feds do, which we have no control over, but I don't see them doing anything soon and dramatic.
Maybe one this year.
Yeah, maybe.
Small one.
You know, yeah, and then I don't know about next year, you know?
No.
Nobody does, yeah.
A lot of pressures out there on
So we still have inflation is higher than people, you know, than we'd like it.
Right, and the cost of gasoline in particular, a driving force in that area.
That's gone up.
It's been going down lately, but it takes several months for that to filter through the system. But that may prove to be in the second half of the year, that may prove to be a real benefit as far as further cooling of the inflation rate.
Yeah.
So for the next thing in our packet, I had spoken to Jill about this. So previously, Bob, you had requested an outline of how our interest is calculated. So that's the letter you see here. And I also found the original proposal that was provided to the Board of Selectmen. It was in June. And so it's from the June 6, 2023 regular meeting. Packet supplemental number one. So if you want to see the original proposal, it is online in the Board of Selectmen, June 6, 2023 meeting. But ultimately, we are getting 4% APY on the money that's in our general fund. It's a simple interest model, not compounded. They use the daily balance method to calculate the interest. So it's applied to the principal in the account each day and then posted monthly. So you had asked, multiple people had asked, well, what does our daily balance look like? So she just provided us with the end of month balance for multiple months for fiscal year 22, fiscal year 23, and fiscal year 2024. So that if you chose to do some estimates moving forward, you'd have an idea of what our bank account looks like. So it varies greatly from year to year. You can see some big changes, at least in July and August of 22 versus 23. The balance was much higher starting fiscal year 23 than it was in 22, and even higher in 24 than it was in 23. I believe in 2024, the reason we're seeing a shift in 2024, and you know, Jill will have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe part of that is because she shifted some money around to take the most, to make the most out of this interest policy. So she tried to get as much money into the general fund as she could.
So I think that's part of what contributed to the higher numbers in 2024. And then, you know, obviously.
That's what she had told me as well, is that you're supposed, that she tries to maintain as the minimum needed in the operating account to cover the town's state, you know, short-term obligations so that we get the most interest on the, you know, the remainder.
Right.
Yeah, this, I do.
And so we only make it, sorry, we only make the 4% on a balance of over $5,000. So right now we've got, right?
$5,000 or $5 million.
Sorry. Sorry, add some zeros to that. So right now, right, we've got just under at the end of March, we had just under $13 million in the account. So we were earning that interest on around $8 million. So and it doesn't look like we've gone below that balance of $5 million in the only once in the last three fiscal years. So that bodes well for us.
For the last 2 months.
Yeah.
For the last two. Great, well, yeah.
Question here from Bob and Robert. Observation regarding, I appreciate the fact that we finally have something from the bank. I would like to have seen a bit more information there.
Thank you.
Especially what drives, in the first you know, two paragraphs, the interest rate is what is currently offered to the town of Bolton and is subject to change based on interest rate conditions. I would have liked to see a bit more.
What interest rate conditions?
Collaboration there.
Yeah, it's probably in the detailed contract. Is that?
I'm trying
maybe?
To see.
Yeah, that's posted.
That's what I've been asking
for. It would have been easier or
so
nicer if they spelled it out. Yeah.
Where did they see my?
Yeah, because it's easy enough for them to say whatever their financial reference point, you know, is
right,
that they use for more than one or an average.
And what drives a change?
An average of this. And
it's going to be a benchmark.
Because whatever their benchmark is would help us understand what it may look like in the future and make better decisions.
Yeah, example, if it's, you know, if the interest rate changes by 0.25%, say, as we were just kind of mm-hmm. speculating, does that mean there's a corresponding and immediate
right.
change in the rate that we're getting? Or is it a combination of other factors?
I'm surprised that 4% has been pretty fixed. I would have thought that would have even fluctuated.
She yeah. told me that it's been pretty stable.
Yeah, well,
I'm
it has
surprised.
Been pretty stable now since July? This past?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Time was by fast.
There weren't any further.
Yeah, there weren't any,
there weren't any further hikes.
Hikes.
I think after July.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too, just to keep in mind when you look at these numbers, because of the way that they calculate the interest on a daily basis, you will see fluctuations that also are based on how long the month is. Because you'll see February is 28 days, you'll have April is 30 days, and then, you know, June is 30, so it's something to keep in mind too, because it's affected a little bit by the length of the month because of their calculations.
All right. Hopefully my point's not lost. That,
no.
I am not seeing anything in the documents that were provided to the Board of Selectmen that indicates what the basis of their APY is.
That's interesting.
It's magic.
Yeah.
It's almost like they just say this is the number.
So the original proposal, there were two options on the table based on different minimum amounts that we'd have in our account. So the first was 3.25 and the second was 3%, and the board pushed back and asked what's your best offer, and they came back at 4. So I don't know, it doesn't seem like they were basing it off of anything in.
They must have had some internal analysis.
Right, something, but
that we're not privy to.
And that being the amount that they're actually making.
Yeah.
So is there a specific question?
When did you renegotiate this? Or is there a period?
It was at the end of last summer.
You did.
And we said, the board said that we would address it every year, so we will have to try and bring the bank in again and have a conversation, and we can potentially ask some of these questions.
That would be good. So let's put that on there as an official ask, so that if it's Sometime soon, probably after we get the budget out of the way for this year, whenever the last referendum is after that. So I'm thinking you probably want to have them in July or August. Or do you want them in sooner?
It's up to Rodney.
Because it would be good to give them some advance warning.
Yeah, I guess it would be.
So, well, it's May now, mid-May.
Yeah, so it's not that far away if you say July. It's like the month after next, so.
I would say a month before that is renewed. Is it automatically renewed or is it just?
Yeah, there's no end date to this, except that the APY is variable.
Right.
So it can change at any time, so we could.
Yeah.
We could ask them what they're predicting for the future, the coming year, and what is the very specific question you have?
There, one is like the benchmark is what we.
The last benchmark for the.
What drives a change?
Yeah.
The last what?
The last sentence in their letter to us says the interest rate that is currently offered to the town of Bolton is subject to change based on interest rate conditions.
What are these?
Yeah.
What are these and?
Inquiring minds don't even, you know, that doesn't even take an inquiring mind, that just takes common sense, come on now.
And how does that tie into the contract?
Yeah. And it's also, it's like, when are they applied? Is it applied at the end of each, you know, at the end of each month? We look at an average, you know, what is the benchmark at the end of the month? You know, what is, you know, what benchmark and how do they then apply it? And is it quarterly, monthly, you know, what's the period that they look at for, you know, when they want to make a change?
Got it.
So we need to have them back in again. So whoever on the selectmen can request them to please come in would be a good thing. So you think July, that what we heard is a consensus, or you want them sooner? But Rodney, you had a comment or just scratching?
It was September that the contract started?
I have no idea.
They changed it in the middle for us.
There was a June meeting and then they pushed back, so I think it was probably July or August when it was approved.
So you want to bring them in July?
Yeah, let's do that. Because I don't know if they, I don't know if it's even a matter of the contract ended and they renegotiated so much as we put pressure on them.
But it was the latter.
And they wanted to keep us.
Yeah, well, they came in with a compromise, if you recall, and said that we reconsider our position and we're going to offer you 1%.
Well, yeah, because they bumped it up just, they bumped it up just because we wanted to have them in. And then after they came in, they bumped it up just a teeny bit more. And then after you twist their arms, then you get 4%. So it would be good to have them in.
What's that?
Who was negotiating with the bank?
The Board of Selectmen.
Yeah, we suggested that the Board of Selectmen continue the arm twisting that we started.
It was actually in the meeting minutes when they approved it that they would discuss it once a year. We'd go back to it.
Yeah, so it's about time.
Yep.
So if you could get them in for like June or July, I guess.
She'll ask.
July or actually, or a regular, it could be as soon as like, we have a regular meeting anyway in June. And then we're usually out for July and August, so
right.
We should have them in June.
We call Mr. Cotton House.
Yeah. Any further discussion on elected official and town and staff reports so we can keep moving along? Do you have a question, Amanda?
Nope.
We're ready to move along then. So we need to move on to ongoing business, which was to act on the FY 2024 revised revenues. So it looks like we, at some point, we managed to not actually officially vote on those. I thought we had, you know, approved them, but it doesn't look like it from the record. So let's go and just do this, you know, tonight to make it official. And that's included in our package. And the adopted revenues were $2 million. So what the hell, I'm looking at education. Sorry, let me go to the next page. The adopted were $23,413,367. And the ones that we need to approve should be $24,280,105.
I'll make a motion that we approve the revised FY24 revenue as presented in the amount of $24,280,105.
So a motion made by Amanda, do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Bob Monroe. Any further discussion? All those.
Oh, I just want to clarify that these are the original numbers we discussed, not including the extra 90,000-ish that's potentially there after Jill's latest revised numbers that we opted not to
include for the town. And
correct.
The same thing, this also does not include that extra monies from the Board of Ed either. Correct, you know, from the, you know, the extra that they may have in surplus.
Oh, the ones that, no, yeah.
So then there's a potential like about 225,000 that's not accounted for in here. Between the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen, no. 200,000.
But that's not revenue for FY24.
Yes,
that's
well,
not revenue
goes into
for
next
year.
Yeah. I'm just saying, not included. So. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Approved unanimously by all members of the Finance Committee present. So we have new business discussion of state and federal compliance audit. This is the first time I've seen it tonight.
Yes,
yeah, we need to put this on the next agenda.
Big document.
Yep.
So do you want to say we'll table this until the next?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'll have to read through this.
So then I'll just put the, do I have a motion to table that discussion until our next meeting,
mm-hmm.
regular
so moved.
Meeting? Motion moved by Amanda, seconded by,
second.
By Ashley, I think beat you to it.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, abstentions, passes, motion to table it till next meeting, regular meeting, passes. So discussion on the next meeting date. We have a regular meeting coming up on June 20th. I think we need to put a special meeting date on for the evening after the
mm-hmm.
after the referendum next week on Tuesday, so we should have one on Wednesday, which I can take care of by just asking, you know, Liz and Kathy to post it.
That's not a Board of Ed meeting, is it?
Well, it doesn't matter. We have to.
The 22nd?
The 22nd. It doesn't have to be the day after. It can be.
We typically don't, we haven't been doing it the night before because I can't be here because I'm at the elections.
Yeah.
And then you need a certain amount of, the next referendum date is 2 weeks after that, so that would be June 4th, and you have to allow time to get the ballots printed and all that other good stuff. So we really should, if there's no, unless there's some real reason we can't do it, we should really meet on the 22nd.
Okay.
Yes, special meeting 7:15 on the 22nd.
Make a motion that we schedule a Finance Committee special meeting on the evening of May 22nd at 7:15 p.m. at a location to be determined based on availability.
And the purpose of the meeting is to
whatever you dictate in your
with an agenda to be set, but with the purpose of discussing the results of the referendum.
Yeah.
And potentially setting the mill rate.
Let's potentially set the mill rate or potentially to act on budget reductions.
I accept your amendment to my
Decent W. Do I have a, you just.
No, we need a second.
We need a second.
I'll second.
So this motion was made by Amanda, seconded by Rhea. All those, any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, abstentions carries unanimously by those present. So then, let's go on to this. I sent out to folks just before the meeting, unfortunately, so if you didn't get it, I do have copies of some feedback that I received from two constituents. And I discussed it briefly with them, actually, not briefly, we had a good discussion on it with Amanda. And the feedback was basically people trying to figure out the difference in the numbers that we gave as an average and what they saw when they looked at the grand list. And I think that some of the challenging, the factors that complicate things this time are one, we had a revaluation. And two, the revaluation was not proportional. Residential properties rose more than business properties. In fact, most businesses lost some money, it looks like, you know, decreased in value. And then also that both of these averages are skewed, because if you look at the median for the business increase and the median for the general property, you know, the private property increase, real property increase, the median is higher than the average, which means that there's a few people who drove up the average for the properties, you know, private properties, and it's the same thing, even more so with the various business properties we have. There were a few that went up substantially there, driving the average increase up higher for everybody. And I don't know what an easy answer for this is, because this isn't a sound bite. It's like you have to explain, like, there's several components that go into it, and who's carrying the bigger, you know, component. And it gets complicated, because you can't shaft the businesses to save the homeowners, and you don't want to do vice versa. So it's, I'm just opening it up for discussion, because I'm just, how do we package this in a way? Because we're accused of being disingenuous and trying to, you know, falsify, you know, and mislead, which is not the case. It's just trying to package something, you know, as simply as possible. So comments. So
I can clarify where, just for the record, where the number on the presentation came from. So that average of 29% was taken from the grand list from this year and the grand list from last year, using the total net value divided by the number of properties, the number of real estate regular properties, which is line one on the grand list, to come up with an average net value assessment for that property compared to the average net value assessment of the property that was on the grand list last year. That came out to 29%. That was using numbers without access to the detailed information. Detailed information does show that the median is 40% for residential single family home properties. So that was more across all the real estate regular properties, and average is obviously different than
the average median. Is lower than the median.
Did we do this last year where we provided this level?
No, because there was no
reval.
So yeah. We used an average to figure out the approximate impact for the average household, because there's no way for us to give people that information.
Yeah, and we did do that last year, but that was okay because there was no revaluation. So people's home values were the same. It was apples to apples. Right.
Unless they built on their property or something and which changed their.
Yeah, there must be a way to create some sort of tool, even in a spreadsheet, where you get bands of homes from this value to this value.
Well, and that's what we tried to do, but we had to use the average increase in assessment, or you have to use the value to do that estimate.
You either do it and heavily caveat it and say it is really dependent on your facts and circumstances,
which is what we did,
or you don't do it at all. I don't think there's really anything in between that you can do.
You know, other than providing this is the mill rate, here's how much you will pay per $1,000 of your assessed value, figure it out.
Correct.
You know, it's not being rude. It's just like, if you want to know for your own home, this is how you have to do it.
If your house has been valued, you know, assessed at this value, and you, like, do some ranges, like a certain, then you know, if you have a $300,000 home.
But to calculate the change.
Which we did.
I mean, there is a chart in the presentation that shows if your home is at this value, this is what your increase will be, or decrease, you know, depending on.
People know what they paid last year, right? But they don't know is what they're gonna pay, so then they could calculate that easily and know.
So that's what we're encouraging people to do, is go calculate your tax burden this year. And the way that you do that is find your assessed value from this year, which is not the net value, it's the assessed value, which is 70% of the valuation of your home. Divide it by 1,000, multiply it by the proposed mill rate, which is 33.43?
And, yep, and what you will find, when I did the math with the examples that are included in the account, the official towns document for the budget, and I will be paying about $1,200 more for my property because the assessed value went up from $165,000 to about $250,000. So it makes me happy that, you know, if I want to sell it, and it also makes me glad that I'm not below water. I paid the mortgage off, but at one point it was below the more, you know, below the, you know, what I owed, you know, on the value. And so it's like, this is a capitalist system that we use, and it's all based on, you know, powers out of the individual homeowner, you know, it's beyond the individual homeowner. So even though my mill rate went down substantially, I'm going to be paying, you know, about 15 to 20% more than, you know, last year. And I think that's what a couple of the people were trying, you know, was the, you know, the message that they were trying to get across and make sure. And I think that's also the thrust of the feedback that I received from these, you know, other constituents.
But you've also gained equity in your.
Yeah. I know, but I'm just saying, it's like, name your poison. Yep. And there's nothing we have control over with this because it's driven by market value.
Yeah, and I was Bob Monroe. As I was remarked, that it was unfortunate I did not mention to Mr. Rashad, you know, that aside from, I mean, from what I understand anecdotally, there were a couple of major differences identified that resulted in increased valuations. That was homes that are on, have, instead of two floors, one floor. That seems to be what was selling, based on
starter
what
homes.
This is all about. And then the other thing was starter homes, things that were in that range that you mentioned would be considered, I'm guessing, I'm not a real estate agent, be considered a starter home.
Mine was specifically that when I talked to a real estate agent, because I lived by myself, I wanted something small, and then it was also, I figured, good, it'll be appreciated, I can sell it to a young family that wants to start out when I'm done with it.
Yep. But I think those are the two, you know, two of the real big factors.
Yeah, and I think the other challenge for people is, it's great that the house value went up, but you can't magically reach into that value unless you do a home equity loan to pay your taxes. And so it's coming out of your earned income, and that's where it hurts people. So that, I think that's part of the challenge, is that's the way we do tax, you know, we fund things in Connecticut in general, unless you want to have some municipal taxes.
I mean, but to be clear about the overall budget numbers, right, it's going to impact every household, every business, every person differently, but the overall budget is seeing a decrease from last year's budget to this year's budget in the net amount to be raised by taxation. So it's a decrease in that of 2.73%. So we are requesting less taxation this fiscal year than we were last fiscal year overall. It just depends where that money's coming from. The auto grand list also went down, right? So valuations of cars went down. The mill rate is staying the same, which means we're getting less money from auto, which means we're getting more money from other real estate and properties.
Well, this, it's a really, it's like, and I think that's the best way to describe it. We were, it's a revenue neutral budget, but where that, you know, by tax, it's tax neutral, I should say, from last year, pretty much.
It's tax negative. We decreased by 2.73%, right? So it is.
It's a slight decrease, but where it comes from changed over last year because the way the values of homes and businesses and automobiles shifted.
That's what it is.
So that's really the message, and it's like, how do you say that easily?
Yeah.
How, why is that? Is that a law, or is that the way?
When you say is, how is that, which one?
Why is it that it's shifted from businesses and vehicles?
The market. It's all based on the market. So homes are just worth more now, vehicles are worth less.
So they're worth more than commercial real estate, for example.
Right.
We don't have that much commercial real estate, and it did not appreciate at the same rate that the homes did.
Okay.
So then the distribution of the revenue shifted because of the revaluation, even though we're asking, you know, for less than last year, to, you know, Amanda's point, it's where is it coming from? So effectively, the businesses are probably paying a little bit less than, you know, they're paying less than.
And or vacant properties might be paying less. I didn't look into all the details, but like, there's multiple different types of properties, right? And so everybody's valuation is a bit different. Right.
Easily. I mean, you can explain it, but it's like, we're having a nice long discussion, and hopefully Bryce is taking this all in and can help explain it to people. But it's not a simple thing. And I feel, I still feel, I don't like the fact that I am paying more, but I do think that the budget is reasonable, you know, given the circumstances and also our need to, you can't let maintenance slide on things, because we pay for that in the long run. Like we did with the old school building, which, you know, we have to tear down now because we deferred maintenance on it. And if you, maintenance does not get cheaper. And so I really don't see where we have, you know, a lot of fat in this budget. We never do. They're usually fairly lean, and we do the best that we can with them. So we'll have to see what the voters think next week.
Yeah, I think there's two different kind of comments coming out of the shared comments. It's one, disagreement with the budget, fine, you know, and then two, there's the messaging on.
Yeah.
Which, that I don't think it was disingenuous.
No, and I did, I mean, this document dated, that was posted on the assessors, we don't know when it was posted, it's dated December 13th, you know, I'm not sure. I did not see that, have access to it. I did, you know, when we were doing the presentation to pull it together, and we got the details after the town meeting, so. Information we get is ever evolving, and this is an example of.
I just want to make clear, this is nothing that's a fault of Amanda. I don't want to make it sound in any way, shape, or form that, you know, she's thrown under, you know, she's getting thrown under the bus. It's like, because we're all in the, you know, we're all in this together, we all looked at it, we all agreed we didn't have all the information at hand, but we needed to put the budget together, you know, based on, you know, the deadlines in the charter, and we did the best we had with the information available. We'll see what the public thinks about it, and then we can regroup with the new information that we have now and whatever feedback we wind up getting from the referendum. I don't know what else you can do.
I think, you know, because I'm not very savvy with all this stuff, so I think that the explanation about the market value of vehicles has gone down, and that's why you're going to be paying less for your vehicles, and commercial real estate didn't rise as much as residential real estate, I think makes it very clear about what happened, right, how that happened. I didn't really assimilate that information until tonight, honestly.
Yeah, and you need to keep in mind too, excuse me, that the mill rate on vehicles is maxed by state law.
Yes, yep.
So that one doesn't change. The valuation of the car might change.
Mm-hmm. Which is what happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is what happened to me. So I'll probably save a couple hundred bucks on each of my cars because their value went down substantially. So that's nice, but when I go to sell them or trade them in, I'm gonna get less. So again, it's name your poison. Any further discussion, you know, on the proposed budget feedback.
No, I appreciate the feedback, though.
No, I do too, and I thank them for it. And I said I would get back to them after we had the discussion because I wanted to make sure whatever I got back to them with was what we had, you know, agreed on and discussed here. And none of it is disingenuous. It's really a complex topic and how, how do you best explain it? Because the numbers are accurate, but they're not representative of everybody, which we did caveat. And if not, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion made by Amanda. Do I have a second?
And third.
We have a second by Rhea, and I will call the meeting adjourned at 8:33 p.m.
Thank you.
Thanks.